Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
What would happen if by Tuesday, not Wednesday, but what would happen if by Tuesday God was to say something to you? Let me say it again. What would happen if by Tuesday of next week, if God was to say something to you? Not to your husband, not to your wife, not to your mum or dad, not to your brothers or sisters, not to the holy people in the parish. But what would happen if God was to say something to you individually? What would happen if God was to clear his throat and say something to you? It would change everything, wouldn't it? It would change your whole life. Well, through my life, I've probably, because of what I do, I've probably listened to thousands of talks, it feels like. And to be honest with you, I can't remember what most people have ever said. But those few things that I can stop and say, I think that's what God said to me, I have never forgotten in all my life. Now, many of us, particularly older Catholics, and I'm 27, you know, but many of us older Catholics, you know, we sometimes don't even think that God would clear his voice and speak. Sometimes we don't even think that God would say anything to us that would change the course and the direction of our life. Some of us have been turning up to church most of our life, maybe some of us not that very often. But what would happen if God said something to you? To you. All by yourself. And I want to do something in these days that we're here. I want you to imagine for a minute, and I appreciate it, this might be a little hard to imagine, but I want you to just imagine for a minute that there's no one else in the church but you and me, and it's just me on you. You know, right now, for all of you who are married, I just unmarried you. I'm not talking to your wife right now. I'm not talking to your husband. I'm just talking to you. What would happen if God was to speak to you? Well, I've been married for 35 years. Well, it keeps adding up all the time, you know. And for our 24th wedding anniversary, which was 11 years ago, Rosemary and I decided that we would go to Europe. And we'd never been to Europe before. I had, Rosemary hadn't. And on one particular day, we decided that we would go to the Vatican. We would go to the Vatican. We went purely as tourists. Anybody here ever been to the Vatican? A few of you, yeah. And so we went to the Vatican, and it's just this massive place, and it was the middle of summer and it was hot. And I remember we went back to our hotel, and hotels in Italy are a little bit different than in Australia. Hotels in Italy are basically the buildings are, many of them are only 7-8 stories high, and every floor of the building is owned by a different family, a different hotel. And all of the rooms are small. And to get into bed, you basically put your bottom against the wall and you slide along and then you sit down. Well, we'd come back from the Vatican and it was hot. And I went to have a shower in this very small shower, and I don't take very long to have a shower. And Rosemary then went in to have a shower. And I remember I went and I leant against the bed. And as I sat down against the bed, which was leaning against the wall, as I sat down, I heard this voice. I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard this voice say, "I want you to go back tomorrow. I want you to go back and pray at the Vatican." And I remember stopping and thinking, "But we're going to France tomorrow. How can we go back? And eventually Rosemary came out and she takes a long time. Me, it doesn't take me that long to do my hair, but Rosemary takes a longer. And so anyway, when she came out eventually, I said to her, "Rosemary, I said, I think God wants me to go back to pray tomorrow." Now the truth is, listening to God it's not like it's clear, is it? It's not like it's a voice. You know, it's not like you can pick up the red phone direct to God and there he is. Because if you're going to talk to God, it'd be an old phone. I mean, wouldn't it be good if he was there and wouldn't it be good if he told you who to marry? Wouldn't it have been good if he told you all those years ago, don't marry that person? Wouldn't it have been good if he said to you, this is what you should do with that child. This is the kind of job that I want you to have. This is what are, these are the decisions. Wouldn't you love that degree of clarity of a God who has the ability to see yesterday and see in the future and know where you're going? Wouldn't it be good to be able to hear God in that way? And but sometimes you're not sure. I remember talking to your Archbishop, Archbishop Mark Coleridge, and we were talking about listening to the voice of God. And he said, and I remember he said to me, he said, it's like looking through a steamy window sometimes. And you're not sure what's on the other side, but you know something's there. And I remember I said to Rosemary when she came out, I said, I think God wants me to go back and pray tomorrow at the Vatican. And she said to me, but we're going to France. And the planes are booked and the hotels are booked. And I said, yeah, I know. And then she said, well, I tell you what. She said, if you want to go back and pray tomorrow and you can change everything, she said, well, you go. And she said, but I won't. She said, I'll stay here and I'll pray in the hotel. And I thought that was strange. And I said, but it's the Vatican, Rosemary. I mean, how often do you get to go to the Vatican? Seriously. And we'd done it like tourists. And you know when you do the Vatican like tourists, there is so much to see. You just walk about this pace all day and you see very little really. And you still haven't seen it all. And then it occurred to me, Rosemary saying to me she didn't want to go. It occurred to me, how many of you know that Rome is one of the fashion capitals of the world? And what this meant was if I went off to pray tomorrow, Rosemary could go shopping in Rome all day by herself without me. It was the most expensive prayer day I've ever had in my whole life. So I head off to the Vatican, and when I get there, you know the big round bit at the front they call the square? You know how the Italians call the round bit the square? You figure. And there's thousands, tens of thousands of people sitting there with the Pope, and everything's shut. And I walked up to, and I remember standing there and going, God, but I thought you wanted me to come back and pray. See, hearing God is sometimes hard, isn't it? And I'm thinking, well, everything's shut. I thought God wanted me to come back and pray. Well, I'm not going to go back all the way back to the hotel because Rosemary's probably already prayed and gone. And that wasn't prophecy. That was just truth. But anyway. And so I decided I'd go around to the Vatican Museum and I'd pray in there. And see, many years ago, I was taught by a priest when I was 15 years old. He taught me, I wrote a book on this, he taught me to write my prayers out. I remember him saying to me, he said, I'll teach you how to pray, but on one condition, you get a book, just a notebook, and what I want you to do, whenever you pray, write your prayers out. He said, because then you won't get distracted. How many of you have ever prayed and all of a sudden you're thinking about what's on TV tonight, what you're cooking? Yeah, just me, right? And so I went and got, and the advantage of this is that you write things down through your life. And so I started keeping a prayer journal in 1973. And the advantage of that is you can write down those moments. It's not a diary. It's your prayer journal where you write your prayers out. I can go back and I can write, I can read what I thought on my last day of school. I can go back and read the day I asked Rosemary to marry me. I can read the first day our child was born, our first of our kids was born. I can tell you what it was like the day my dad died and what I prayed on that day. And it's interesting, and if we get time, I'll tell you a bit more how to do that, but we may not get to that on this occasion. And so I thought, well, but inevitably, because you're going to write, you look for a table. And so I thought, well, I'll go into the Vatican Museum, I'll sit in the cafe and I'll pray there. And the other good advantage is that you can drink coffee with your prayer. How many of you ever come in here to pray and you just put your hand up and say, hey, Father Dom, can you get me a latte? And he just runs up and gets a word. So I was sitting in the Vatican Museum cafe and I wrote in my journal, I wrote, God, what are you saying to me? Have you ever asked that question? What are you saying to me? See, many of us live on the decision we heard yesterday, didn't we? I mean, this is the person I should marry. So this is the job we should have. We live, most of us, not with the thought that God would clear his voice and speak, but rather whatever was said to us or thought about years ago that we thought God said, we just stay there. But what would happen if God had a now word? What would happen if God had a today word? A today word, a fresh word, today for you. That's just for you. That's just for you. And so I sat there and I wrote in my journal, God, what are you saying to me? And I had no great thought. About 11 o'clock in the morning, I wandered around to the Sistine Chapel. And if you've ever been in there when all the tourists are there, it's a busy place. And I sat against the wall and eventually got a seat. And I wrote in my journal, God, what are you saying to me? And what are you asking me to do for the rest of my life? And that kind of surprised me. When you write your prayers out, you write things that you kind of go back, oh, why did I write that? And I had no great thought. And then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I noticed that some of the young people who'd been with the Pope were now in the square because they'd all been wearing scarves, which had caused everything to be locked up. And so I said to one of the guards, I said, is St. Peter's Basilica, the main church, is it open? They said, yeah, it is. And so I wandered around there. And when you walk into it, if you ever look down at from the door, you look down and you look towards the high altar and it's just this huge place. But about halfway down on the right is this little Blessed Sacrament chapel. And I went and sat right where that photo is. And I went and sat and I got out my journal and I wrote in there, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, God, what are you saying to me? Now, here's the thing, and we'll cover this later on in the week, but why is it that when we want God to speak to us, that God just doesn't speak instantly? Why doesn't God just come along right now and just answer the question that we have right now? Why doesn't he just tell us instantly? Well, I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to answer that on Friday. Because it's interesting. Many of you have been waiting for things in your life. Many of you have been waiting for direction in your life, and some of you have thought, well, maybe God's just hasn't gotten any direction. And I realize I'm using a hyper-religious language, God talked, God said, God. But the truth is, those decisions you make about who you marry, the jobs you have, what you do in your retirement, they're spiritual decisions, aren't they? They're the most spiritual decisions we make in our life as lay people, aren't we? What we do with our money, what we do with our time. They're deeply spiritual questions. And so, about 6 o'clock at night, just before the Vatican was about to close, this thought occurred to me. And I'll say it as if God spoke to me. I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear a audible voice, but this is the way I remember it came to me. It was this. Bruce, there's some things I've wanted you to do, and you've not done them, and there's no next step until they're done. Bruce, there's some things I've wanted you to do and you've not done them and there's no next step until they're done. How many of you here have ever tried in life to go around problem things or you just want to avoid things? A little bit like when I was 15, I just wanted to be 19. And I immediately that thought came into my mind. I knew what that meant. You know, Bruce, there's some things I wanted you to do, you've not done, there's no next step until they're done. And there were three things. And I'll tell you what they are. And they won't sound necessarily, all of them necessarily that spiritual. But the first one was losing weight. Anybody here ever tried to lose weight? None of you. All right, okay. In other parishes, there are people who try to lose weight. And it's been the story of my life, you know, because I like food and don't like exercise. And I blame Rosemary. Because before I met Rosemary, I was so thin. And now I look like this. And Rosemary says to me, it's not her responsibility. Yeah. But I'm forever, and there's a long story to that. And the other one was study, that I needed to do some more study. And the third one was my relationship with Rosemary. And that was it. It was 6 o'clock at night, and I just knew that was it. All day just for that. So I walked out of the Vatican, hopped back on the train, went all the way back to the hotel. And I remember walking into the foyer of the hotel going, God, you just could have told me that this morning. Well, when I eventually got up to the room, I put my key in the door and I walked in, opened the door, and there on the bed was shoes and dresses and, you know, it had been a very expensive day. And then Rosemary said to me, she said, what happened with your day of prayer? And I said to her, I think God wants me to lose weight. And she said to me, you didn't need to go to the Vatican for that. I could have told you. You know, you think I'm joking, but that's actually true. That was exactly what she said. You know, see, these things don't come naturally to me because they're real. Anyway, well, I came back to Australia a couple of weeks later. And I hadn't been here very long. And I remember praying one day, and I began to work on those things, and I remember praying one day, and this thought occurred to me. I want you to make a Catholic television program. I want you to make a Catholic television program. It was as clear as that. Now, seriously, look at me. Do you think I should be on television? Yeah, thanks. I like you too. I didn't think so either. I mean, I thought people on TV were good looking, you know. But I couldn't get it out of my mind. Isn't it interesting when God speaks to us, it's a voice that just keeps coming and you can't stop it coming. You've all heard that voice. And for many of you, stop to go, it's just an idea that's in my mind and I can't get out of my mind. But how does God speak to us as Catholics, as Christians, as adults? He speaks in our head, he speaks in our heart, and he speaks in the circumstances of our life. That's how God speaks. Our head, our heart, the circumstances of our life. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind, and it went on for weeks. And I was living in Perth, in Western Australia, and that was where I was raised. And a man from not a Catholic church in Sydney called me one day, and he said, listen, I've been watching what you've been doing. He said, the stuff you're doing is growing. And he said, you're going to need some legal and business help. And he said, I suggest you don't know a lot about that. And I know a bit, but it's not my field. And I said, well, I don't know much. He said, if you came to Sydney, he said, I'd help you. And I said, well, why would you help me? I said, you're not a Catholic. And he said, well, if you could help reach Catholics and connect them to God and the church, he said, I feel I'd be building the kingdom of God. And I thought, well, that was a good attitude. So he said, come stay at my house and then we'll go to my office. So I go there and this lawyer, he comes out, we drop my bags at his house, then we go to his office and he comes around the other side of the desk, comes around the other side, sits beside me. He says, why don't we talk about what God is doing and let's pray. You know how you've all got a lawyer like that, don't you? You know. And he said, why don't we talk about what God is doing? And I said, every time I pray, every time I'm quiet, every time I lie in bed at night and I just, and the house creaks or a dog barks in the distance or there is a siren somewhere, I hear this voice saying, make a Catholic television program, make a Catholic television program, make a Catholic television program. See, the voice of God is consistent, but we all have the ability to turn it off. And he didn't say much. Well, we went back to his house for lunch. And who should turn up is his son-in-law. And I'm sitting here and the lawyer's sitting there. And his son-in-law sits beside us. He said, do you mind if he joins us? I didn't mind. And he said, and his name was Mark. And I turned to him and I said, hey, Mark, what do you do? And he said this. He said, I'm a Christian television producer. And the lawyer said to me, tell him what you just told me this morning. And I said, every time I pray, this thought comes to me, I should make a Catholic television program. And the TV guy, he said to me, he said, oh, that should be possible. What would it be like? And I said, I've never given it a thought because it's ridiculous to me. And see, in these next 7 days, some of the things that some of you will feel and hear God say to you, you're going to stop and go, but that's ridiculous for me. You don't know my past, my history. You don't know what I look like. I'm too old. I'm retired now. Anyway, he talked to me for a while. He said, what it'd be like? I said, I never think about it because it's crazy. Well, anyway, the next day I went back and I'm meeting with the lawyer at his office, and who should come to his office is the son-in-law, the TV guy. He knocks at the door. And I go out there and he says, will you step out, Bruce? And I stepped out and he said, on the phone in the other room, I've got the general manager of the Australian Christian television station and he wants to talk to you. And I said, I don't want to talk to him. Did you call him? He said, yeah, I did. I said, what am I going to say to him? He said, just go pick up the phone. Just talk to him. His name's Neil. So I walked out. Have you ever had a phone call with someone or a conversation with someone you didn't want to have? And so I went out, picked the phone up, put it to my ear, and I said, hello, Neil. And he said, hello, Bruce. And then he said this to me. He said, hello, Bruce. And then he said to me, what's on your heart? Now, seriously, how many of you, when you ever met someone for the first time, you turned around and went, what's on your heart? When Justin said to you earlier, turn around, say hello to someone, let's have a show of hands. How many of you said, what's on your heart? It's just odd, isn't it? And what he was really saying to me was, what do you know? What do you know? And what do you think? What's in you? And I said, well, every time I pray, this thought occurs to me to make a Catholic television program. And I still remember I had the phone against my ear, And he screamed on the phone. And I remember I lifted the phone away. And I put it back and I said, what's that? And he said, the big conversation here at the Australian Christian Channel among the board members is, where would we find a Catholic in Australia to make a Catholic television program? And he said, you're on the phone. And I said to him, hang on, we're Catholics, we don't go that fast. What a stupid thing to say. And he said to me, what would it be like? And I said, I don't know, I've never thought about it. And anyway. I hung up the phone and I proceeded to do that thing none of you would have done, completely ignore God. And I got back on the plane and I flew back to Perth. And I just went on with my life. I was working for the church, but I was working in a very different job to anything that I do now. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind. I just kept hearing this voice. So I decided, I'm going to go see the Archbishop. And I'm going to say to him, I'm just going to tell him the story. And then he's going to tell me, that's stupid. Forget about it. So I went and saw him. And I still remember sitting with him and I told him the story, and I still remember he sat in his chair and then he leant back and he went, do anything you can to be on television, I'll back you. And I said, what? He said, do anything to be on television, I'll back you. And I said, why? He said, what you don't know is, he said, I've just been elected by the Australian bishops as the bishop responsible for media in Australia. And this will be the first thing I do. Do you think God had a hand in this? See, you have, think about it. What God wants you to do in your life, God is already working in your future to bring about. God is already ahead of you. God is already setting up the people, the conversations, the circumstances that you don't even know. God is already in your future because God sees the whole of us.
Forgiveness can be so terribly difficult, but it is possible. Forgiveness is all about you, your future, and your happiness. Rosemary and I gave our children many things, but when we look back, there are probably two things that we believe we gave them that was indispensable to their lives. And one of them was forgiveness, because it sets their future free. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge. Call me on this number or write to me on the addresses below and I will send you Radical Forgiveness.
Do you ever feel like things in your past are holding you back from enjoying the best life you could live? We often think that forgiveness helps the people who have hurt us, but forgiveness can help us live happy, bold, and healthy lives. Bruce can show you how you can set your future free through the power of Radical Forgiveness. Simply call this number, write to the address on your screen, or visit our website, thecatholicguide.com. You can begin living with the freedom and peace that comes with learning how to forgive the people in your life.
You can love your children no more than teaching them the power of forgiveness, and you can love yourself no more than knowing what real forgiveness is all about. This is powerful beyond our imagining. I know of no other way for friends and families to be able to be restored than through forgiveness. Radical Forgiveness changed my life, and I believe it will yours.
Well, what a great message from Bruce Downs at an event held by Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy Ministry traveling team, where Bruce asked us the question, what would happen if God spoke to you? Now, if you couldn't get to church this week or you just can't go right now, our team at Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy Ministry want you to know that God wants to speak to you. Like Bruce says, it might not be an audible voice, but he wants you to know that he sees you, he loves you, and he has a great plan for your life. Well, until next time, keep listening for God and remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, the Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.